My name is Garland Robinson. Our lesson today is simply to ask a question. Is your religion vain? That may sound odd, but you know, vain religion is possible. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us so. You know, most people profess some kind of religion, one religion or another. And to say that a man is religious really is to say very little. It was Jesus who came to the Jews, a very religious people, and yet he said in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It was religious people that crucified Jesus. When you read of most of the conversions in the New Testament, it was from religious people. Religion is something you do. It's not something you get. You know, I've heard of people say, well, you need to get religion. Well, no, it's not something you get. You don't catch it. It's something you do. James speaks of pure religion. He speaks of undefiled religion. In James chapter 1, verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So if there is pure religion, that also means there is impure religion. If there is undefiled religion, then that means there is defiled religion. So just because one is religious, just because one believes and is sincere about a certain religious practice or activity does not guarantee or make it that they're right with God, because some religion, many religions, are vain. Well, this lesson then is going to focus on different kinds of vain religion. You remember what James said again in James 1 and verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So it is possible to be connected with and involved with vain religion. So let's mention some ways in which our religion, our worship, our practice may be in vain. If we have an inherited religion, that's going to be vain. Remember how Jesus condemned the Jews for their tradition? Tradition is that which has been handed down from generation to generation. And simply because we do something or practice that because our parents or grandparents or for years and years and years or even centuries has been done or believed, that doesn't make it right. Many today profess some kind of religion because it happened to be the way they were raised. But that's not what the Lord teaches. In Matthew chapter 15, we read verses 3 to 9. "Where the Lord answered and said, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" During the Lord's day, there were those that would sidestep the commandment of God, circumvent, go around it, and it was because they didn't want to follow God, and they used as their authority tradition. This is the way it's been practiced for many, many years. Notice what we read then beginning in verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say," now here's the one thing God said. God said, honor your father and mother, but yet the people had turned it into something different. "But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." The Lord called them hypocrites. In verse 7, he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What he mentions here is that the law of God was that children requite or help honor their parents. And yet these people, by tradition, were taking that portion of their money, which they should rightly give to their parents or use in the upkeep of their parents. They were saying that money has already been obligated to God. Well, I've already promised this portion in God's service, therefore that relieves me of my responsibility to parents. But yet that's not what God's Word said. And He said, because of that practice, your religion is vain. Because you're doing that as a result of your tradition, He says your worship is vain. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we have to honor God. And whatever God says regarding our parents, then that's what we've got to do. And we cannot say I'm following God and not fulfill our responsibility to our parents. Or on the other hand, we cannot say, well, I've got to help my parents and neglect the will of God. It works both ways. We've got to do the will of God, and God's will is that we provide for, take care of our parents. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Here the Lord is simply saying that if we'll put God first, if we do His will, sometimes that requires us to forsake our parents, that is, their religion or their practice in religious things, in order that we might obey God. And if we do that, if it becomes necessary that we have to do that in order to follow God, then He says, we will be rewarded. God will remember that. So inherited religion is vain. Then the Bible says social religion is vain. You know, God expects true fellowship with Him and those who are His faithful children. And if we're into a religious practice or activity because we simply enjoy it, or that we like it, or we're into it for the social things that we can get out of it, He said, that's the wrong reason. Worship is not just a place to go. It's not fun and games. It's not for the physical or social well-being. It's not a club. It's a serious thing. And we need to follow God's Word in order that we might be pleasing unto Him. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice the emphasis here upon those who obeyed the gospel. They followed the apostles' doctrine. They followed their fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. It wasn't just what the social aspect of it was. It wasn't just because they were involved in it and they liked it and they were happy in it, but really what the Lord's teaching was on the subject. In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We honor God by doing His will, and His will is that we worship Him upon the first day of the week. We give glory and honor unto His high and holy name. And when we neglect that and get into it just for the social aspect, then we are worshiping in vain. A third area wherein worship is vain is because of prestige. When we're involved, when we want, when we desire honor and glory and prestige, perhaps we join a religious body because of business opportunities, because of the power that it gives us or some honor. You know, it's interesting that sometimes politicians go to church and they get religion, as they think of it, around election time or because of a business contract. That is hypocritical. That is for power and glory and prestige, and that makes religion vain. Jesus talked about such hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, He said, but when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That is, what feeling they get out of their practice, he said, that's all they're going to get. Whatever that makes them feel good, he said, that's it. There's no more reward coming to them. In Luke chapter 18 and verses 10 to 14, we read, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friend, when you go to church or you are religious because of some feeling or prestige or power or honor, then your religion is vain. Humble service is not one of prestige. James 4 verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Friend, don't let your religion be in vain. Don't let your religion be in vain. Let it be authorized according to the Scripture, the Word of God. And the only way to do that is to study and to learn and make sure that we're doing what we do religiously because it is a thus saith the Lord, not simply because it's inherited, not because of a social aspect or some religious or prestige that we may receive from it, but indeed that it is the will of God for us.